Good morning. Welcome to the Center for Strategic International Studies. My name is Andy Cutchins, and I'm the director of the Russian Eurasia Program. And before we get started with our program for today, I would just like to take a moment to acknowledge the tragic death yesterday of Natalia Estimirova, one of Russia's leading human rights activists, who was brutally murdered in the Northern Caucasus. Let me read to you the statement that was published by the Russian Union of Journalists yesterday in regard to her tragic death. On Wednesday, 15 July, our colleague, the well-known human rights activist and journalist Natalia Estimirova, was murdered after being abducted near her home in Grozny. Natalia worked for the Memorial Human Rights Society, wrote for Novaya Gazeta, was awarded the first Women in War Award, inaugurated in memory of Anna Politkovskaya, her very close friend, and participated in many discussions and programs organized by the Russian Union of Journalists. She was a consistent critic of human rights abuses in Chechnya and the Northern Caucasus as a whole, and was convinced that the determination and courage of those who were not prepared to put up with this lawlessness would win in the end. That was the subject of her articles and her talks. Her last publication appeared after her death. That was the belief and cause for which Natalia gave her life. This murder took place just a month after a report by the International Federation of Journalists was launched in Moscow concerning violence against those working in the media in Russia. The RUJ forwarded the text of that report in official letters to the Russian president, those in charge of the key ministries and government departments, expressing their hope that together we could overcome this disgraceful stain on our present existence. The murder of Natalia Estimirova leaves us feeling angry and helpless, yet we remain convinced that if President Medvedev gives instructions for those responsible to be punished, his orders will be obeyed. We are heartened by the fact that for the first time in many years, the leader of the country has immediately reacted to such a tragedy with a firm and principled response. We feel sure our colleagues will display solidarity and not let this crime be forgotten. Together, journalists and NGOs in Russia must demand that the authorities carry out the orders of the president and let society know how the investigation is proceeding. We are sure those responsible for the murder will be punished and that the killing with impunity of journalists will come to an end in Russia. The Russian Union of Journalists is beginning a campaign to expose and combat violence against the media in Russia. It calls on all who are concerned about the future of journalism to join us. I want to express my condolences to friends and family of Natalia Estimirova, a number of whom are in this room today, and I hope very much that the desires expressed in this letter from the Russian Union of Journalists will be fulfilled. Let's just take a moment of silence in her honor, please. Thank you. Well, I'd like to put on a happier face now to introduce our program for today. It is really a distinct honor for me and for CSIS to be hosting Nino Bergenadze today here in Washington. As you know, Mrs. Bergenadze gained international recognition as one of the leaders of the Peaceful Rose Revolution in Georgia back in November of 2003. She has served as Speaker of the Parliament of Georgia from November 2001 to May 2008. She has also served as the Acting President of Georgia twice, the first time from November 23, 2003 to January 25, 2004, in the wake of Edward Shevardnadze's resignation during the Rose Revolution, and again from November 25, 2007 to January 20, 2008, when Mikhail Saakashvili stepped down to rerun in the snap presidential elections. Mrs. Bergenadze has been elected to the Georgian Parliament three times since 1995. She has served as the Deputy Chair of the Committee on Constitutional, Legal Affairs, and Rule of Law. From 1998 to 1999, she served as the committee's chairperson And in 2000, she became chairperson of the Committee on Foreign Relations and served in that capacity for a year before being elected to the post of Speaker of the Parliament of Georgia. She has also served as the president of the Parliamentary Assembly of the Black Sea Economic Cooperation Group in 2001-2002 and the vice president of the OSCE Parliamentary Assembly from 2000 to 2006. She since stepping down from her post as parliamentary speaker in May 2008, Mrs. Birgianadze established the Foundation for Democratic Development, an independent, non-governmental organization aiming to support active participation of any citizen in Georgia, as well as private, state, and international organizations in establishing a truly democratic Georgian state. November 2008, Mrs. Birgianadze established a new political party, Democratic Movement United Georgia, and today she is one of the leaders of the opposition movement in Georgia and plays a very active role in political life. She is a lawyer by training, doing her undergraduate training at Tbilisi State University, and having received her PhD, Kandidat Nauk, at Moscow State University. And she's the author of many articles and publications in international law and foreign policy, including the book Legal Problems of International Organizations of a New Type. Now, Mrs. Birgianadze, I understand that today is a special day. I've been informed that today is your birthday. Is that correct?
Secret services are working well.
They are working well. Please, we would like to present you. Just to cheer up the crowd, why don't we sing Happy Birthday, okay? One, two, three. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Nino. Happy birthday to you. All right. On with the show, on with the program. The lectern is yours. We're looking forward to hearing your remarks about what's going on in Georgia today.
Thank you very much. It's really great pleasure and honor. And thank you not to announce the age, how old I am. But it's not secret anymore for a very long time. So thanks again. It's real pleasure to be here among friends. It's pleasure for me to be in United States, in Washington, Georgia, and I personally, we have so many friends in United States, and quite often I'm feeling here like at home because there are lots of people who understand Georgian reality quite well, who cares about Georgia, who cares about many of Georgians, and it's really important for my country and for my people. Georgia is a country which faced with a lot of different problems during the Georgian's history. Especially latest history of the country was quite complicated and really difficult. After achievement of independence, country faced with lots of problems, beginning from civil war, beginning of ethnic conflicts, and many internal problems, economic problems, social problems, and many others. So 10, 12 years after independence were really very difficult for Georgia. And you all know that in 2003, we three political leaders took the responsibility for the political future of our country. We were sure that we have to change reality which we had in Georgia at that time. And we achieved really great success. Our success and unprecedented support within the country as well as abroad was based upon our unity, promises that we would strive for our people and dignified democratic development of our country. And this was very important because leadership which came in the power understood that times that democracy is only way for normal development of the country. And Western values and Western support is absolutely crucial for the country. Western values were and are very important for Georgian society because we understand quite well without democracy, without independent media, without human rights protection, without independent of judiciary, without to respect human rights and state institutions. Without strong state institutions, it will be absolutely impossible to create normal and democratic development of the country. It will be absolutely impossible to strengthen the country and to strengthen the country not against internal problems, but against threat which is coming concerning Georgia's independence and sovereignty. From the very beginning, after 2003, we made a lot of things, and I was very proud here in this very hall, in many other different places, giving my speech and speaking about reforms which we were making in Georgia. We were fighting against corruption. We were fighting to make reforms in law enforcement agencies. We were making very serious steps forward in army building process. So country really was going in right direction, and I was really proud that I was a part of process when country was just taking serious place on the right track, and country was making steps to bring country and society closer and closer to Western community, to be closer and to be one day member of NATO, to be one day, if not member of European Union in nearest future, at least to have closer ties with European structures. And there was a period when I and many other people, we had the feeling that positive things which we had in the country are really most serious, and mistakes which we were making, including me, of course, because I share this part of responsibility as I was a second person in the country, that the positive things are much more serious than mistakes which our government was making that time, and pillar of positive things was much heavier. But unfortunately, we made mistakes which are crucial for every country, especially if country wants to be normal and democratic country. So the main problem was that decision-making process in the country became untransparent. Power was just manipulated quite seriously and concentrated in the hands of the president and his team. Institutions becoming weaker, including parliament. Media control became something which was quite usual for the country, and it brought us to November 2007, when people, despite of economic growth, despite of some serious perspectives to have more or less prosperous country, decided that democracy and dignity of every person in the country is more important than to build infrastructure, to have new roads, to have beautiful facades, to speak about democracy. So 2007 November, which was turning point for many of Georgians, including me. That time, country faced with very serious problems. We had huge manifestations with tens of thousands of people. Demonstration have been cracked down. Not only demonstration, but independent TV station IMEDI, which of course create very serious problems for international image of my country. Whole international community was watching with very big surprise what was going on in Georgia. But fortunately, I will try to be very brief, because in this very hall, people know these events quite well. Fortunately, we find solution. We decided that elections will be this democratic mechanism which will help us to find solution and outcome from this very difficult crisis. And president resigned, and there were elections in January 2008. And it was a big chance to change the situation, to improve Georgians' reality, to improve country's track, and to put Georgia on the right track, to strengthen democracy, to respect elementary democratic norms, and to prove once and forever that we Georgians are the people who can learn lessons after mistakes. I personally had the same feeling, and I was sure and I believed that the incident of 7th of November 2007 will serve in the very least as a bitter lesson for the government. Unfortunately, I saw afterwards that I was wrong, and these lessons were not learned. After elections, when president have been re-elected again, we received another chance, and especially before elections 2008 May, when we had parliamentary elections. It was really great chance to have really free and fair election system, to have free and fair elections, to receive whole spectrum of political parties in the parliament, to have healthy discussion inside of political structures, to create really strong balance between executive power and legislative power, which will create really checks and balances system, which is helping every democracy to be on right track. But unfortunately, constitutional amendments, which we passed through the parliament in April, and partly maybe it was my fault, just crossed these kind of possibilities. And we received again possibility to have parliament under full control of the government with constitutional majority, which is not serving, especially in countries like Georgia, because especially in new democracies, you need strong opposition. You need a position which is opposing the government. You need a position which is trying to catch every mistake to help you to avoid to make more serious mistakes. And I decided to leave. I decided to leave because I understood for that time that my possibility to have an influence on the processes, to strengthen parliament as institution, will be very limited, and I decided that being in the position of the second person of the country, it's not what I really need. I wanted to have changes in the country. I wanted to be sure that the country will go on the right track. And that was what I said during my statement in 2008, 21st of April, which is a quite memorable date for me. That day, I said that I see that country is moving in wrong direction. We still have chance, and we should not lose this chance. Otherwise, country will be in trouble. After leaving the parliament, as you correctly mentioned, I founded Foundation for Democratic Development, as I was absolutely sure that if I was not able to strengthen democracy as much as I wanted from inside of the government, it was a huge chance to help government and to help country via the civil society to strengthen all democratic developments which I was sure was necessary for the country. And when I created Foundation for Democratic Development, I was, as I understand right now, quite naive. I was sure that at least 2-3 months will be just quite free to spend in civil society to strengthen country's democratic development. And then maybe I thought that maybe I will create political party and I will come back in political life of the country maybe for local elections or for parliamentary elections. But unfortunately, 2008, August, tragedy of August, has put us against completely new and most severe reality. And country, it was a turning point, not only for me personally, but it was turning point for whole Georgia, and I'm sure it was a turning point for everybody who is just calling himself or herself as a friend of Georgia. It was quite obvious that this tragedy will be ended in very difficult way, and it is a big tragedy for Georgia, as we lost after this tragedy 20% of Georgian territory, even more than it was under control of separatist regime before, as we lost more territories in Kodori Valley, Upper Abkhazia, in Perevi, in Akhalgori, the territories which have been occupied by Russian army in 2008. We received 3 Russian military bases back on Georgian soil, and many people here in Washington remembered quite well how many efforts we spend it to implement OSCE Istanbul Agreement to withdraw Russian military bases from Georgian territory. We spend it years to withdraw military bases from our Seoul, but just in 1 minute, we can say, we received 3 military bases back without any regulation, without any international agreement, without real quick forthcoming possibilities to kick them out again. Of course, the reason why that was so important to put Georgia in the trap, one of the main reasons was Georgia's foreign political orientation. It's not secret, and fortunately, it's until now in the same. We are in the same position. Georgian population has very strong pro-Western feelings, not only because of pragmatic interests, but because Georgia understands that West is about values, values which are important for Georgian society, values which are important for every normal country, and values which are important, especially maybe for small countries, to be normal countries, to survive, and to have protection and support from the side of international community. It was not secret that Georgia's aspiration to be a member of NATO was one of the most unacceptable for our northern neighbor. And Russia was trying to do everything possible and sometimes even impossible to stop Georgia's aspiration to NATO. Last year, we had a plebiscite, and Georgian population proved once again that the main goal of Georgian population in foreign policy is to be a member of NATO. More than 67% of Georgian population supported Georgian membership in NATO. Yes, we had some skeptical countries that time. I don't want to mention some European countries who are friends of Georgia, but they were skeptical, saying that Georgia is not ready for NATO membership, that Georgia is not predictable, that Georgia have problems of territorial integrity, and Article number 5 will create problems for NATO member countries in case if Georgia will be member of NATO. Of course, we were trying to explain that time that Article number 5 is not about membership action plan. Article number 5 is about membership, but nevertheless, many countries in Bucharest were quite skeptical concerning Georgia's even membership action plan. Unfortunately, August 2008 gave some additional arguments to these people who were skeptical concerning Georgian membership in NATO. And people who were just before were asking questions, is Georgia predictable enough or not to be a full-fledged member of international community like NATO, received serious arguments that no, Georgia is not predictable enough, Georgia not wise enough not to be involved in provocation, which was clear that was a provocation, and Georgia is not wise enough, I mean government is not wise enough to avoid the trap which was prepared long before. Of course, when I will be critical concerning my government, nobody could understand it like any kind of justification for Russian actions, because what Russia did in 2008, this was absolutely unacceptable from the point of view of international community, from the point of view of international law, because Russia just crossed international border, Russian-Georgian border, bombing Georgian territory, even Tbilisi, Poti, Senaki, different places which we are quite far from South Ossetia. Russian army occupied territories including Akhalgori and Perevi, which was never before in the hands of separatist regime, and still violating Sarkozy-Medvedev agreement, which should be implemented and which we were waiting that will be implemented even in September or October in 2008. But unfortunately, this agreement are not implemented yet. And of course, it was absolutely unacceptable that Russia decided to recognize independence of South Ossetia and Abkhazia. I think it was a great mistake and great problem, not only for Georgia, but great problem for Russia, because Russia is not just a country which is absolutely just unilateral. It's a federalism. It's a country which has lots of federal republics inside, and giving such kind of bad example for other republics of Russian Federation, I think that might work like boomerang for Russia's interests in nearest future. And of course, it's absolutely unacceptable when you have Northern Ossetia on your soul to recognize independence of South Ossetia quite near from your borders. It was absolutely unacceptable, and it's created serious problems for any nearest possibilities to normalize relations between Russia and Georgia in nearest future. Russia put us in the corner with this decision, and unfortunately he put themselves in the corner, because the way out is very difficult. Georgia will never accept independence of Abkhazia and South Ossetia, not because we don't want to respect people's right to choose how they want to live, where they want to live, and not because we are not ready to respect people's independent feelings, but because Abkhazia and South Ossetia is part of Georgia, always was a part of Georgia, and we have to respect not only will of Abkhaz and Ossetians who are living on this soil, but we have to respect rights of hundreds of thousand Georgians who have been kicked out from Abkhazia and South Ossetia in early 90s, in 98, in 2003, in 2008. These people have right to come back to their homes as well. So this is the problem which needs solution and which we should solve only according by negotiations, only according by building new bridges between two nations or three nations, and only according to civilized norms of international norm. But everybody understand that it will be not easy, especially after 2008. And unfortunately, this perspective to solve problems in Abkhazia and South Ossetia, after a huge miscalculation of my president and after a huge mistake of my president, have been postponed for very many years, maybe decades, maybe less, but it's not nearest perspective in nearest future. Of course, I'm quite critical concerning many steps which Russian Federation made, including Russia's call that President Saakashvili should be removed. It's not up to Russian Federation or any other country to speak on behalf of Georgian people. It's not up to anybody to decide who should be the president of the country. It's up to Georgians. If we like our president, we will support him. If we don't like, we will do what we are doing right now when we had 3 months rallies, and we will continue our protests, but it's only up to Georgians to decide how to act and what to do. And sometimes, friendly to say, I have a feeling that Russian Federation is trying to help Misha Saakashvili to keep his position, criticizing him such seriously, calling him political corpse or using some other terms which are absolutely unacceptable in diplomacy. But to end with this, because I'm sure that there will be lots of questions concerning this issue, I would like to mention that despite of all difficulties, despite of very serious problems which we have with Russian Federation, nevertheless, we have to find way how to speak with our neighbors. Every country should do its best to find possibility to communicate. And the biggest mistake of my government was that we ignore the fact that huge country like Russia was a neighbor. And even if you don't like your neighbor, you are not able to change your neighbors. And you have to have dialogue, you have to have direct talks. And I think that latest developments proved it once again when we saw that two superpowers, despite of many differences, United States and Russia, are trying to find in some directions common language. They are trying to reset their relations. We saw that Russia and NATO are able to find common language despite of very serious difficulties and despite of very serious problems. It does not mean that they will agree on everything, but it means that at least they will discuss very difficult issues, and at least I hope and everybody hopes that they will avoid any direct military confrontation between superpowers and between different countries. It was absolutely necessary, despite of the very difficult situation, to do everything possible and impossible to avoid direct military confrontation with Russia last year. And it was absolutely obvious that Georgian army will be defeated if there will be a military confrontation between Georgian army and Russia. It was clear that Russia wanted to provoke Georgia. It was clear that this provocation will be ended in a very bad way. And the main criticism which is coming from my side and from the side of my colleagues concerning our president is that he was not able to avoid to be a part of this provocation, and he was not able to just stop the provocation and not to bring the country in the trap, which brought so many problems and tragic developments for the country. But the main problem maybe afterwards was that despite of these tragic results which we received after August, when all our just dreams to be a normal democratic country and be part of Western community have been postponed, afterwards, actions of the president of the country proved once again that he is not going to change anything and he is going to continue business as usual. I think that in every normal country, every responsible leadership should step down if because of your miscalculations, country lost 20% of territory, country received foreign military bases on your soil, country lost nearest perspective to be a normal country. But our president decided to do in a different way. He decided to declare that we are winners in the war, that we won because whole international community are watching Georgia, whole international community is speaking about Georgia, and as he said, we just once again show Russian face to whole international community. I don't think that it was a big achievement, and I don't think that it was something which should make us to be proud. In 2008, in September, it was clear for me that country will be in trouble, not because of only external threat, but because of instability which will come in the country and political crisis which will come in the country. In August, whole Georgian society was united around the president and around the country's government for many reasons. First of all, because of outside threat from outside, because of Russia's declarations that they want regime change. We are sure that we have to be united around our president and around the government to protect them, to show unity of Georgian society. And I think that time it was absolutely right, correct decision. But it was obvious that nevertheless crisis will come and you can continue this kind of unity for a very long time. I prepared in the framework of Foundation 43 questions, which I sent it to the president. 43 questions about war, because I didn't want to make some kind of prejudges. I wanted responsible answers. Was it possible to avoid war or not? Was it possible to help military operation in better way? And many, many other questions, which was interesting not only for me, but for many people all over the Georgia, maybe outside Georgia. Unfortunately, there was no any kind of response from government side. Then I sent it in October 23rd, an open letter to the president, where I mentioned that this tragedy of August 2008 put country in absolutely different situation. And country is in the situation when political crisis will come because the lost war, unprecedented control of the country, and many, many other problems. And the CPs, which I gave in this open letter to the president, were very simple for every democratic country. Recipes were concerning strengthening the institution, to open dialogue between political parties and political opponents and the government, to really open media, to strengthen independent of judiciary, to begin to work concerning constitutional reforms, and to put country on the right track, at least internally, to strengthen country, to unite country, not to polarize society. But unfortunately, again, I did not receive any kind of response from the side of government, just ignorance and cynical answers. And it was obvious for me that country is going towards the direction of political crisis. And step by step, we saw that instead of improving mistakes, instead of at least asking excuse for the country's trouble, President decided to strengthen his power. President decided to strengthen the control over the media, to strengthen control over the judiciary, to strengthen political police. Nobody may be expected in the government that so many people will attend 9th of April, the rallies which opposition called before. More than hundreds of thousands of people were participating in rallies beginning from 9th of April during 3 months. It was longest and biggest rally in the history of Georgia. And once again, Georgian people proved that for them, the most important is stability and democracy. But unfortunately, we faced with a very serious problem. We have choice between two most important things for country's normal development, stability and democracy. If you have rallies, if you continue rallies in country like Georgia, you are damaging country's stability. If you are worried about stability, if you are stopping the rallies, in this case, there is a threat that country's autocratic regime will be strengthened and country will really be in very serious trap, the trap which everybody in the world called autocratic or dictatorship regime, which will be ended in any way, nearest future, but will be ended even more in difficult way than we can predict right now. So unfortunately, choice between stability and democracy, this is which we faced right now in my country. But I have very good or bad example from last year when we choose after presidential elections stability instead of real democracy. When we know that we had problems with elections, we had problems with media, we had problems with judiciary. But we decided that lessons will be learned and stability is more important. We received neither stability nor democracy in our country. Right now, we are going to protect stability, but not damaging democratic movement and fight for democracy in the country. On behalf of opposition, I can say that we will continue our struggle for democratic development of the country, for achievements which are important for country's normal future. During 3 months, Georgian opposition proved that we are responsible opposition, despite of the fact that government was trying to use all possible mechanisms to damage image of opposition in international area, calling us radicals, calling us marginals. And it's funny, said at the same time that somebody is calling me as radical or marginal, as I was a person during decade in Georgian political life who was mostly often was using word dialogue, consultations, constructive relations, and it was not only facade. It was real will to try to find common language between opposition and the government. But unfortunately, latest achievements, we are not really very successful. Georgian opposition proved its actions that we care about stability of the country. And when somebody is speaking about radical opposition, should take into account that none of the windows have been broken during 3 months of rallies in which hundreds of people have been participated. We faced with lot of attacks from the side of government, and it's not true that government was paying patient and was calm during these events. Government really used know-how how to crack down the demonstration, because what they learned in 2007, in November, it was that they should not crack down the demonstration in such an open way, but they did it in different way. We had lots of attacks of secret police, so-called private militia, to the people who were leaving rallies. We have beaten 200 people and no one investigation from the side of government. We have more than 100 people in the in the jail without any kind of evidences of their guilt. We have lots of elimination to be a betrayers, Russian spies, to receiving Russian funding, and many, many others, without any kind of evidences from the side of government. We have lots of cases in court waiting, free and fair court hearing, and none of the answers from the side of government. This is a reality which we faced right now in the country. And we need international understanding. We need international support. We need your attention on Georgia's internal development, because we are more than sure that without international support, it will be very difficult to keep stability in the country, to put country on right track, to push Saakashvili to implement his promises, which he gave to international community in many, many times. But at least it was very important promise which he gave from the Tribune of United Nations in September 2008 when he was speaking about new wave of democracy. There is no any wave of democracy in Georgia right now, just opposite. All reforms have been reversed, and we are really in trouble, because I'm sure that even if you have a facade of democracy, but you have no real democracy in the country, you can't be really calm about stability and future of your country. Thank you. It was a long monologue.
No. You want to take questions up there?
Yeah. Why not?
Thank you very much, Mrs. Burjanadze. We have a fair amount of time, 35, 40 minutes for discussion. I will take comments and questions. Please keep them brief. Identify yourself for Mrs. Burjanadze and all of us here before making the question or comment. I'd like to exercise the prerogative of the chair, maybe ask you the first question. I think there were many mistakes that contributed to the tragedy in August of 2008. I thought that I personally felt that this was one of the greatest blows to U.S. foreign policy, national security policy in recent memory, that this war was not prevented, and a great blow to the credibility of U.S. security commitments around the world. I'm wondering, what is your advice to the new administration here in Washington about how to address Georgia, how to address Russia, and the possibility of a further conflict, which has been rumored and talked about quite a bit? What would you have wanted Mr. Obama to say to Mr. Medvedev and Mr. Putin when he met last week, and what would you advise him also to say to your leadership today?
Thank you very much. First of all, I have to protect United States, because it will be unfair if I will just put part of responsibility on United States because of not to be able to prevent this war. I had lots of meetings here in Washington, in Tbilisi, with high U.S. officials, and I can't remember even one single case not to receive very clear messages, not to overreact, or not to be involved in any kind of military confrontation in South Ossetia and Abkhazia. Of course, we were explaining to our friends in the United States that it's not easy to keep patient when somebody is trying to provoke you, when Ossetians were bombing Georgian villages. It was not easy because it was obvious that you should do something to protect your population. But, and emotionally, of course, everybody's reaction will be to do something, to prevent, to protect, to fight for protection of your population. But you have to just measure which will be more serious threat for your population. To keep patient despite of serious pain, or to attack somebody, Ossetians, Russians, peacekeeping forces, or anybody else, and to be defeated and to receive even more serious damage than before. So when I was in the United States in June 2008, I met many people, including Dr. Rice, and I received very clear messages. Please don't react. Please keep patient. Don't fight. We admire you. We love Georgia, but we can't fight against Russia, even for very dear Georgia. And it's clear. I didn't want to see any fight between Russia and United States. Even more, I don't want to see any new Cold War between West and Russia. And despite of the fact that I have lots of critical points concerning Russia, I think that it's right decision to restart relations between Russia and the United States. It's right decision to restart relations between NATO and Russia. It's right decision to restart relations between European Union and Russia, not to isolate this huge country, and just to try to involve them in international politics, to involve them in international life, but to push to implement the agreements, like Sarkozy-Medvedev agreement or others. And I think, and I hope, that despite of this restarting, pushing will be not stopped, and just opposite. Georgian case was mentioned in Moscow, and I appreciate very much on behalf, not only on behalf of opposition or myself, but on behalf of Georgian people, that President Obama especially mentioned territorial integrity and sovereignty of Georgia in Moscow. It was very strong and important message. And I do hope that this support will be continued in the future too, until the disagreement between Russia and the United States concerning Georgia will be not solved. But I hope that this solution will be not based on compromising Georgians' interests, just opposite. Friendly to say, maybe despite of the fact that I am for a very long time in the politics, I am still sometimes not trying to be naive, but trying to believe in better cases than in worse. And I was thinking, what does it mean that Mr. Obama did not answer after Mr. Medvedev did not answer to Mr. Obama when he mentioned territorial integrity and sovereignty of Georgia? I really wanted to think that it's something positive for Russian-Georgian relations. But we received very unpleasant and unacceptable surprise when Mr. Medvedev arrived in South Ossetia a few days ago. I understand that this was a response, but very negative response. And I don't think that this is bringing something positive, not only for Russian-American relations, but some kind of positive ground for any cooperation of Russia and Georgia. And this is really sad, because we have to just close some kind of emotional feelings, and we have to find some possibilities how to find way out from very serious crisis. What I'm waiting from United States is that U.S. will continue support, which United States is providing to Georgia, not only political support, but economic support. And despite of the fact that I'm very critical towards my government, it does not mean that I will ever ask somebody to stop any kind of financial support for my government, because this is support which should receive not only government, but the people, what is most important. And people need this support. But what is really very important, this support should have some conditions. And conditionality of support is very important. Conditionality of support that this financial aid will come, will be used in the country for people's need, but not for regime strengthening. Not for strengthening police, political police in the country. Not to strengthening judiciary, which is in fact not independent. Not to strengthening that NGOs which are under control of the government, but to strengthen really independent NGOs, to push police to be not political police, but police of democratic country, to push president to create democratic reforms. This is very important, and by the way, this is what we are waiting from Mr. Biden's visit too. When you mentioned that U.S. was not able to stop this war, I have to be very blunt. Sometimes there were some people in Georgia who were asking that maybe there was a green line from the side of United States, because it was quite difficult to imagine that somebody, especially president, will receive such kind of decision to involve country in war without just support from big players. But I personally, I know that there was no green line, and I can say this very clearly. But another question is that, which mostly oppositional people are asking, why Saakashvili still enjoys support from the side of West, despite of the fact that he's violating democratic principles and the norms? But this is quite just question which is based on visibility, because I know that many friends of us are pushing for democracy, are pushing for democratic reforms, but of course it's quite obvious they should respect country's government until this government is elected. So, and I think that it will be very important from the side of West, from one side, to respect government despite of the fact you like them or not. And from another side, to push this government for democracy and for implementations of the obligations which they have in front of the international community and in front of their own people. And I really do hope that Mr. Biden will stress these messages in Georgia, because people are waiting Mr. Biden's visit very much. Of course, we do hope that there will be a separate meeting with opposition. We wanted to share our views, our visions, and we want just simply to explain that we are not crazy radicals. We have ground to be very critical towards our government.
Thank you. Okay. Yes. Is there a microphone? Thanks, Dan.
Thank you. My name is Georgi Kvelashvili. I just graduated from Yale University. Currently, I'm associated with the Jamestown Foundation. And thank you, Ms. Burjanadze, for your presentation. And congratulations on your birthday. But I have very, very critical two questions. First is regarding Georgia's foreign policy. And second, about internal development, about opposition's actions. Foreign policy, what would you have done if you had been president of Georgia? When your country is invaded, in fact, your villages are shelled constantly, and in fact, Russia's geostrategic decision was to take over Tbilisi. It's not only Abkhazia and South Ossetia. For them, the government, the very government, very Western-oriented government, is absolutely unacceptable. And Georgia's just geopolitical location is the foundation of the whole problem, because we are the gateway to Central Asia, and it's the only way, if you shut off Georgia, then you can control Central Asia fully. So it's not you are just making this point very much, downgrading the importance of what in fact happened. It's not some Sin Valley and some independence or whatever it is. It's all travesty, of course. But it's about the government in Tbilisi. Second question is about internal development of Georgia. In fact, you are talking about portraying Georgia as a very undemocratic, you call Saakashvili regime and so on. But opposition leader is now in the United States. Opposition leaders travel constantly. I don't know how you have so much money, but you travel constantly.
Russia's a game.
Gazprom,
Putin, and Medvedev. Competition
for the
among
who
them.
Who doesn't know? And I'm not a party member or anything. I'm just a regular, ordinary Georgian. Every time, every day, all those talk shows on Georgian TV, every single national channel shows you, your colleagues, and so on. One of the leaders of the opposition, Utsnobi Giaga Chechiladze, who has this constant reality show on Georgian TV, he is now vacationing or on medical needs or whatever in the Czech Republic.
You are calling
Georgian government as if like something like Iranian regime. Second thing is that your rallies, many times you violated the law when you blocked roads and attacked police precincts and so on. And you didn't mention those misgivings. So, in fact, those are my two questions, foreign policy and internally. Why is Georgia so undemocratic compared to Armenia, Azeri, and other countries? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. First of all, I would like to ask you and myself to respect every other countries, not to mention their names as undemocratic regimes when we are speaking about Georgia. And I don't want to compare Georgia with any other countries, neither in former Soviet Union, nor in any other countries. If Georgia is a little bit more democratic than some other countries, it's not a matter of my proudness. I want to compare Georgia, and I wanted to compare Georgia always with Baltic countries, with the level of democracy, with Czech Republic, with Poland. I'm not speaking about just old democracies like United States or France, because it's quite long time needed to achieve this level of democracy. But I'm not proud that Georgia is more democratic than some from former Soviet countries, because you know much better than many others here in this room that Georgia was always in front for struggling for democracy, even during Soviet period. Georgia and Baltic countries were four republics among 15 who cared about human rights, freedom, independence, and you know this quite well. So we have to be a little bit better than other countries. We had this ambition. And my and your president, he had this ambition when he came in the power in 2003. And if right now, according to Freedom House, Human Rights Watch, foreign policies polls, Georgia in the worst places than we have been in 2003, before revolution. I don't think that it should make you proud and happy. Georgia moved from 70th place, which we had in 2003 during Rose Revolution, to 120th. And this is about freedom of media. Yes, you are right when you speak that you can see me often in TV channels. First of all, there are no real talk shows in Georgia. Talk show means that we have possibility to have these live discussions, isn't it? Political talk show means, and debates means, that two different positions could just have a conversation or dispute between each other. And if I have a possibility to participate in talk show, which will be ended and summarized by somebody from the government, it does not mean that this is a real political talk show. When we are speaking about national channels, you know quite well that national channels are under full control of the government. And how you can explain that right now, when we are speaking about independent of media, Mr. Saakashvili, appointed as a general director of IMEDI TV station, Mr. Georgi Arveladze, former Minister of Economic Development, and his right hand and PR guru. Does anybody really believe that in hands of Georgi Arveladze, IMEDI will be really independent? It was necessary at least to keep some kind of face. Somebody neutral should be appointed. But Saakashvili does not care, because there are limited possibilities for me and other oppositional leaders, despite of Russian money, to visit every capitals and to just split this information all around the world. Concerning Utsnobi, and I don't think that person who was in fact in jail in this cell in TV during 5 months, and person who have beaten very seriously by police, make any kind of criminal to have a rest for 1 week and to have medical expertise. I don't think that's a criminal. And you know quite well that these TV channels, which are more or less oppositional, they have very limited access, and only few regions have possibility to watch these TV shows. Concerning rallies, thank you very much. Here's the pictures of rallies in Tbilisi. And when you have so many people, yes, you are blocking the roads. And by the way, according to our legislation, which I drafted as a real Democrat when I was a deputy of Mr. Saakashvili, and he supported that time this draft, to block the streets is not illegal. And we did not do anything illegal. Anything illegal. This is an accident which had place in front of police building, and which was advertising by the government as an attempt to attack police. The distance between people and police proves that nobody wanted to attack the building. We came there because we received an information that two guys, 15 and 17 years old, under the threat to be raped. Maybe it was wrong, but we received this letter from their side. And emotional Georgians, you and me, we are all emotional, decided, you are not? Not well, not good. I think people should be emotional, especially if you are receiving an information that 15 years old boy will be raped. People went to the police building. I was there together with my two sons. Smaller one is 15 years old. I took him especially there to show that nothing bad gonna happen. I had a hope, naive hope, that if police and special forces will see me, former acting president, former speaker of the parliament, and leader of oppositional party, together with my son, they will understand that nobody is going to attack building. And I will try to keep calm the people. When I appealed to the special forces by microphone, trying to calm down them, trying to say that please don't react, don't overreact, we will keep patient, we will not attack the building. Do you know what we are shouting of? Misha, Misha. Is it normal that special forces, during operation against opposition, or during any operation, shouting president's name, Can you remind yourself in which countries people are shouting in this situation, or special forces are shouting name of the president? I don't think that somebody from special forces of United States will shout Obama, Obama during any kind of special operation. Here's a picture. When I was standing back on the gate, trying to push people and to keep the distance between people and police, and when police begin to beat me. Former chief of, I don't know, Umar Lesim Tawar Sardar, former president of the country. I was not making anything wrong. And here, the plastic bullets, when you are speaking about legislation, about law violations. Sorry. Here's the plastic bullets. Use of which is forbidden according to Georgian legislation. And thanks to these plastic bullets, two persons have been blinded. They lost their eyes. And did you make a question if somebody have been punished that two persons have been blinded after using illegally plastic bullets from the side of police? And here, by the way, you can see the people around me, including my son, who were trying to keep me from the bullets by hands, by themselves. And seven people around me have been injured like that. First of all, these bullets should not be used in area of head. But all these people have been injured in head. And then we received an information, and one of the special forces representatives gave a special interview that there was a price, 3,000, which is not too much, by the way, to injury, to damage Burjanadze, to punish me. Why you did not raise a question concerning legislation or violation of legislation to journalists which have been injured during this rally? Why you did not raise an issue about violation of legislation when president violated constitution and rule of procedure of the parliament and left me without security? According to Georgian legislation, it was necessary to provide former Speaker of the Parliament and former President with a security guard. I had the security from last year until 5th of January. But when I created political party, Misha decided that he did not like Nino's action anymore, and he can ignore constitution and legislation, and he left me without security. The case is in the court, by the way. What you will say about these pictures? Sorry to say this. I didn't want it to say this. But when I am angry, I'm emotional. I'm speaking even worse things when I decided to say before. These are the pictures from videotape. This is a balcony of Ministry of Security of Georgia. You know where this building is, Chitadze Street. And in front of this building, down of this balcony, there were people, it was a rally there. Do you know Mr. Sanodze? I'm sure you know. The person, high-ranking police official, who was involved in very famous Girgulianis case, and who was not punished only because he belongs to a very close circle to Mr. Saakashvili. And I will not receive any kind of remarks concerning me in this case because I was one person who was asking and who was demanding to punish these people. Mr. Sanodze is the head of general inspection of Ministry of Security right now. And you can see on the picture that through balcony, from balcony, he's throwing water bomb, plastic filled with water, to the people. Is it possible in any normal democracy? And when journalist asked Speaker of the Parliament, was he punished or not? Do you know what was the answer of the Speaker of the Parliament? You know or not? Please be interested. You are interesting how I am traveling, interested what your Speaker of the Parliament is saying. Speaker of the Parliament said that this was just a joke. Great. Very democratic. 15th of June. Fortunately for us, Reuters, Associated Press, France Press journalists were there. Small rally of young people who were demanding to release of their friends. Associated Press and Reuters wrote that they did not make anything against legislation. It was one of the most peaceful and boring rallies they ever had. And they were going to leave this rally, but it was very quick. And you can see how this rally ended. People in police uniforms, without uniforms, beating these young guys like this. Nobody have been punished. And when we are asking to protect law, we should ask to protect law, first of all, from the side of government. We are asking investigations, and we are asking to open videotapes from video cameras which have been fixed on the building of Ministry of Internal Affairs. So this is about who is violating what. And of course, if somebody from Georgian opposition, including me, violating any kind of rules or agreements should be punished. To be in opposition, this is not an excuse. So I'm a lawyer, so I'm for fairness. This is for sure. Opposition's activity to travel in different countries, we will continue to travel. And I think it will be quite interesting for people who want really to have an objective information like you to ask from which funds my government and your government is spending millions for PR companies like, for example, Greenberg and Rosner and others who are working for them in Washington, in Brussels. These PR companies are not doing anything wrong. They are just acting according to their legislation. But from which funds your president and my president is paying money for these PR and lobbyist companies? You gave me a good possibility to answer about one of the very important eliminations which is coming concerning me. I think Putin is just really, it's a funny, and he's laughing very much when somebody is speaking about pro-Russian approach of Burjanadze. Yes. Eliminations that I have Russian links, Russian ties, and I'm receiving Russian money. Maybe you know, maybe not. I sued the president about 3 months ago. Because before, he was just saying many times that opposition is receiving Russian money and the opposition is just, opposition have no way out because they have an obligations in front of Russia and they have to fulfill these obligations as these obligations have been paid. But he was not mentioning any names. Of course, without mentioning names, it was difficult just to say that, oh, you are meaning me or not. Fortunately, during one meeting, he mentioned my name. I sued to him 3 months ago. I'm still waiting court hearing. There is no still court hearing, despite of the fact that it's a very important case. when former Speaker of the Parliament and former Acting President sued to Acting President concerning such a serious political elimination, I think it's a priority. From court, we are receiving just answers that they are very busy. And we have to wait. Okay, I will wait. But I sue to him until Strasbourg. Strasbourg court. And it will be very difficult to our president to prove something wrong in my actions. And according to democracy, maybe one more point, when during one very important talk show, I said to Inga Grigolia, very famous Georgian journalist, said, come on, if I am doing wrong things, if I am receiving Russian money, if I am a betrayer, they should arrest me. This is simple. I am asking to put any evidences on the table. After me, Mr. Petre Tsiskarishvili, head of parliamentary majority of the president, summarizing this talk show, democratic talk show, and when Inga Grigolia asked him, why you are not going to arrest Burjanadze if she is receiving illegally money, especially from Russia, if she betrayed her, if she is a Russian spy, answer was model of democracy. We have no arguments. We have no documents. Nobody is giving documents like this, but we are sure that we are right. Perfect. Concerning international policy, you are right, partly, that, of course, for Russia, unfortunately, every independent and pro-Western government is not acceptable. But every government should act in such way that everybody, including Russia, should respect this government. You should force everybody to respect you. You should act like this when nobody will be able to provoke you, to damage your reputation, or to bring you in the trap. And by the way, Misha asked me the same question as you asked right now, said of August, that what to do if somebody is bombing your villages. And I said, maybe not very just human or humanitarian, I don't know how to pronounce correctly, answer, but I told to him, at least, first of all, you have to evacuate women, children, and elderly people. You have to wait if Russia will really occupy the country or begin occupation process. And you have to ask whole international community to help you. This was a way out. But not what, unfortunately, we did in Tsikhinvali. When we gave some kind of, not justification, but reason to many people to ask questions, what in reality had happened in Tsikhinvali. And despite of the fact that I am very critical and was very critical concerning Shevardnadze, he was able to prevent direct military confrontation during 10 years. And if you think that this direct confrontation brought something positive for our country, and if you will give me these arguments, I will be more than happy to listen any arguments. But I had lots of consultations in United States, in Europe, in Georgia. Nothing positive we received after 2008. August. And it is a tragedy of me, of you, and of our president that we lost chance. And it's absolutely obvious that in South Ossetia, conflict solution was very near. And we postponed this solution for decades, in best case. And I will ask, respond from my president, because of this August tragedy, because of undemocratic development of the country, and because of dirty eliminations which he is using in the best traditions of former Soviet Union against me and against some other people in the country. I promise I will.
Thanks. Yeah. Bob.
Bob Hamilton. I'm a military fellow here at CSIS. Again, thank you for happy birthday. I echo that, and thanks for your remarks. I'd like to ask your perspectives, or maybe the opposition's perspectives, on what should be the future direction in the development of the Georgian Armed Forces. On the one hand, Georgia's perspectives for getting into NATO have to be tied to its the capability and the development of its armed forces, because otherwise Georgia would be seen as an Article 5 liability, an indefensible country militarily. On the other hand, any sort of future Georgian rearmament or military development is sure to be used by Russia as a provocation and excuse to potentially clamp down on Georgia even more than it has. So my question, I guess, is what are your perspectives on what should be the future development of the Georgian Armed Forces, and what help would you be looking for from Western partners?
Thank you very much. I am sure that we have to continue to receive support in every direction and in building Georgian army too. Of course, I hope that there will be no any kind of military actions on Georgian soil anymore. But nevertheless, any country should have its own army, which will be just ready to fulfill elementary just obligations to protect the country from any kind of provocation. And, of course, Georgian army needs this kind of support, and we have to continue to build our army according to NATO standards. And I'm sure that support, training and equipment and other military support, which is coming from United States and some other NATO countries, are crucial for Georgia. But from another side, I want to say that everybody around us, especially Abkhaz and Ossetians, they should have an insurance that there will be no use of force against them in the future. Because only one possibility, which I see as a possibility to restore territorial integrity of Georgia one day, this is possibility we are building bridges and we are dialogue to restore the relations which existed between Georgia and Georgians, Abkhaz and Ossetians, and I'm sure that we will achieve this. It will be not easy, but it will take time, but I'm sure that we will be just wise enough to rebuild these bridges between our people, and I'm sure that these people will understand that even for them, who has really no perspective to be independent, much better to be with Georgians and to have closer ties with Georgians with whom they had ties and very friendly relations during centuries. Because unfortunately with Abkhaz and Ossetians, we have this war and tragic events, but it's only decades. But we have hundreds of years of history of normal cooperation and coexistence. Military cooperation should be continued, I'm sure in this, but under very serious control. And by the way, I think that U.S. should look very carefully what is going on in Georgian army, because there are some wrong people in very high-ranking positions, on high-ranking positions in Ministry of Defense. I'm not speaking about, by the way, a minister himself. He's really a positive person. Well-educated, honest, but people around him are not the best representatives of Georgian society, and there is no place for them in Georgian army. By the way, as I mentioned, former ambassador, many people in France, where I was before trip of United States, and here in Washington yesterday in the Hill, asking why representatives of embassy are not attending these kind of meetings. And I don't think that it's a sign of democracy when embassies are receiving strict instruction not to have any kind of contact with the leader of opposition and with former Speaker of the Parliament and former acting president. I remember when Mr. Biden last year arrived in Georgia, he was in opposition, and whole embassy was running with him to prepare his meetings. I was very proud, and I was jealous. I want to have the same kind of country when, despite of position of any leadership, they will have normal contacts with government and with embassies, and there will be no tension among the people. So this is what I want to say, and I'm looking forward that this assistance will be continued. And the second point is that, of course, if you are going to give us immediately missiles, I don't know what kind of missiles. I'm not very familiar with this. Maybe it will make angry Russians. But from another side, I don't think that we should just every time look after anybody, what will be reaction of any other countries. I respect the will of any country to feel safe and to be sure about stability, but every country should respect others' national interests, legal interests, and relations should be based on mutual respect. And concerning possibility for future military confrontation, and by the way, my colleague from Georgia mentioned that the target of Russia was Tbilisi. I don't think that right now there is a logical reason for Russia to have any new military confrontation. Of course, you can't predict. It's difficult to predict Russia's actions, but I can't see why they should attack Georgia again. In fact, unfortunately, they received even more than they expected last year. To occupy Tbilisi, it will be stupid from their side because they will just stop and receive a serious headache with U.S.-Russia relations, with NATO-Russia relations, with Euro-Russia relations. It will be a headache for them. And what they will receive? Nothing. Just more aggression from Georgian people's side, absolutely anti-Russian, even more anti-Russian feelings than we have right now. So I don't know. I hope that I am right, that there is no any kind of plans to attack Georgia.
I think on that note, we're going to have to come to a conclusion. And let me just express my hope that you are absolutely right in that last point, and that I agree that there is no logic in attacking Georgia, but it's been increasingly difficult for me to find logic in many of Russia's actions of late.
Maybe one more point, if I may.
Mm-hmm. It's your birthday, absolutely.
First of all, I would like to present to you this brochure, Democratic Movement United Georgia. This is not just a party program as such, but it's a main directions of party's vision and party's future activity, and I would like to leave it here because there are lots of discussions in Georgia that opposition and no one party from opposition know in which direction country should go and so on, and there are lots of rumors about dialogue, and I have to say one word about this because I know that quite for many of our friends in West, in Washington, in Europe, it's a little bit difficult to understand when government trying to show that opposition is against the dialogue, including me, because I said many times that I can't see the reason to have any dialogue with the president. Of course, I will be more than happy if I'm wrong, but I'm saying that I will not participate in any dialogue which is for PR. I will participate only in dialogue which is with substance and which will help us to bring country out from the crisis. And here's a six-point plan, by the way, and statement which we send it to our president 18th of May, concerning judiciary, electoral system, law enforcement agencies, constitution. Of course, that number one is that we are calling his resignation and early elections, but there are lots of other important things which should be done, and in case of achieving some positive results in other points, nobody knows what will be demand of opposition afterwards, but we did not receive any response from the side of government from 18th of May. And I would like to mention once again that just to explain once again what radicalism in Georgian sense means. Radicalism in this case means that unfortunately we were forced to use street rallies because we had no mechanisms like parliament, impeachment procedure, or judiciary, or any others. And if dialogue, only with substance, not for PR. Thank you very much again.
Thank you. Mrs. Berger-Nutter, thank you very much.